are listening to a PTBN Pop Blast, Mr. Miracle number one.
Oh, Cinnamon, where you gonna run to? Cinnamon, where you gonna run to? Where you gonna run to? All on that day, will I run to the rock? Please hide me and run to the rock.
Hello and welcome to yet another PTBN Pop Pod Blast. My name's Todd Weber, host of Conversation Comics with Todd Weber. How are you today? I am recording this special PTBN Pop Pod Blast, which will soon be rechristened a Pop Blast. I got permission from the powers that be, aka the powers to be, if you're a fan of late 90s, early 2000s WCW wrestling, to rechristen this a Pop Blast. So there you go. This one is on Mr. Miracle, much ballyhooed, much hyped issue number one from DC Comics, written by Tom King and drawn by Mitch Garatz. They are the creative team from The Sheriff of Babylon. Tom King, also well known for writing Marvel's The Vision, which is a great book. I'm going to say this book is much more in line with that than, say, his current Batman run, which is a little bit more by the book, but it's still innovative in its own way. So if you've read The Vision, which was an amazing 12-issue maxi series put out by Marvel a couple years back, this book, I think, will be up your alley. Even if you haven't, I still think it's well done enough that you will check it out and enjoy it. Now, there's been some, not controversy, but there is some concern whether this is an appropriate book for people who've never encountered the Mr. Miracle character or Jack Kirby's New Gods. And it's tough for me with my 30 years plus of DC Comics reading knowledge to say that it is or isn't. But I will say that the resources are out there for you to learn more about the character and look up some of the things that are referenced in the book. So let's talk about Mr. Miracle himself. He is the son of Isaiah, the High Father, kind of like if you know the Asgardian gods, and Zeus is the High Father or the All Father there. High Father is kind of the analog that Jack Kirby created in the mid-70s in the New Gods book, the good god, the leader of the good team of gods. And then his opposite number was Darkseid. Darkseid's one of the most popular and well-known DC villains. He's going to be in the movies here coming up. He's been in cartoons. He's been in all kinds of books. He was subject of Grant Morrison's Final Crisis, which I will not read until I have literally nothing else to read, because I checked it out and I went, no, this is awful. This isn't for me. But Darkseid's always there. He's a looming threat. He's kind of the opposite number of Marvel's Thanos. He's always searching for a way to acquire something called the anti-life equation. Now, Scott Free is the name of Mr. Miracle, which has always kind of been on the nose for me. Ha ha, Scott Free, what a funny concept. He gets away Scott Free. But that was Jack Kirby. He would do simplified names or names that told you more about the character. You wouldn't necessarily get a character with that name these days. Scott Free was Isaiah's son, and as part of a peace agreement between the good planet, the good gods of New Genesis, Isaiah, and all his team, Forever people like that, versus Apocalypse and Darkseid's forces, Isaiah the High Father and Darkseid exchanged their sons. Kind of like a thing you would see in Game of Thrones, where as part of a peace agreement, you would have a ward. You would take on a character or take on a role of almost like a hostage situation, but that was to ensure that the peace was kept. So Scott went to Apocalypse, and Darkseid's son, Orion, came over to New Genesis. So Scott was born into paradise, but he had to grow up in hell. And Orion, kind of the who we'll talk about a little bit in this episode, is Darkseid's son, who was cast out of hell and got to live among the good gods, and is generally portrayed as a hero, but he's very complicated. He's been around a lot longer, or not a lot longer, but you see him more frequently these days than you do Mr. Miracle. So Mr. Miracle's had a couple different series. He had the original Jack Kirby series, and then joined the Justice League of America, or Justice League International during that team. He and his wife, Big Barda, who we'll talk about a little bit, and then he got his own solo book written by J.M. DeMatteis and then later Doug Minch. That's probably the best known or best loved of the Mr. Miracle solo books, and there have been a couple others since then, but none were necessarily groundbreaking or notable. So there's a lot of affection for Mr. Miracle. He's a good concept. He is the world's greatest escape artist. That's kind of what skill he developed while on Apocalypse under Darkseid and his kind of lieutenant, Granny Goodness. If you've seen the great Justice League cartoons with Ed Asner as Granny Goodness, she even made her way onto Smallville. Great character. But she was Scott Free's teacher. And Scott developed the skill, the ability to break out of any prison. So when he came to Earth or became involved in Earth matters, he developed a career as kind of a Harry Houdini type character. Now, Kirby based the character loosely on Jim Steranko, because Steranko is an amazing human being with a lot of stuff that about his backstory that may or may not be true, but he did train to be an escape artist. If you've ever read one of my favorite books, it's called The Amazing Adventures of Cavalier and Clay. The character of Joseph Cavalier was based on kind of a cross between Jack Kirby and Jim Steranko. So there you go. Kirby paid tribute to Steranko with the character Scott Free, Mr. Miracle. So we're going to take a look at the issue itself. I loved it. I had to read it maybe two or three times to catch all the things going on. It seemed to be pretty quick read for me, but as I went through it, I got all the stuff and enjoyed it quite a bit, and I'm looking forward to the whole 12-issue run. This book was heavily, heavily promoted by DC, so we're thinking a lot of people will be checking it out. Now, I bought it digitally because I couldn't wait, and then I decided, you know, I'm just not going to buy a hard copy of this because I'll probably end up getting a trade down the road. So I subscribed to it digitally on Comixology, so I'll get it, you know, first thing Wednesday morning every month as it drops. So keep that in mind as we go. I'm reading it digitally. So I do like the ability to check out panel by panel, which is fun to read digitally. Issue opens with splash page. Mr. Miracle has slit his wrists, and we don't know why. Is it a suicide attempt, or is he very, very emo, or is this some kind of something else? And it's alluded to throughout the issue that he is looking for a way to, he's bored with all the kind of standard escapes that he's done. He's done everything, but one thing that nobody's ever escaped from is death. So he says that that's what's going on, but throughout the issue, you get a hint that there's something else there. After he slits his wrist, he's taken to the hospital. Big Barda waits for him to recover. It's kind of alluded to that this is more than just an escape for death. I think the underlying issue is that Mr. Miracle is deep down, a very depressed character. He's got depression. The art is beautiful. This is very Bill Sienkiewicz-y, if you look at it. I see a lot of that influence. And I bought The Sheriff of Babylon that Mitch Gratz did, but I have not read it yet. But this is the same artist, the same kind of look to it. Very photorealistic, but with some stylized things that like Sienkiewicz would do in the New Mutants and his Elektra. A lot of the pages are 9-panel grids, which is one of my favorite ways to read a story. Each panel tells something, and then you're often coming back and doing a callback to that previous panel where it has the same fit, same face, but the dialogue will change or an expression will change. So a lot of like copy and pasting of the panels will be done by that. Time passes. He's in there for a while. He grows stubble, and eventually they let him go. But we don't get quite him talking about the wrist slashing so much. He's recovering with Barda, and suddenly, through a boom tube, one of my least favorite things to say, Orion shows up and pulls a Granny Goodness on him. He disciplines him, he beats him up, and then tells him to stand. Disciplines him, beats him, hits him, and tells him to stand up. And this is a very Granny Goodness kind of thing to do, getting you to accept your medicine and stand up for yourself. Interspersed throughout these panels, you do have an all-black page that says, or all-black panel that says nothing but the text, the dark side is. So Mr. Miracle is feeling the presence of Darkseid, or the looming dread that is Darkseid, his adoptive father, if you will. And, you know, it kind of ties into everything as far as what's going on under the surface with Mr. Miracle. So Barda wakes up and chases Orion off and says, "You're not a good teacher. You're not Granny Goodness," which I kind of appreciate. Big Barda is a great character, one of the true original non-derivative characters, probably my favorite Kirby-designed DC character. She towers over all the men. She's super tall, loving wife to Mr. Miracle. She is just super strong and is always an asset on the team she is. But I've always enjoyed that character and her personality, Big Barda, even though I don't like the name necessarily. She scares Scott away. Oh, one more thing about Barda. She trained as a female Fury under Granny Goodness. So she and Mr. Miracle escaped Apocalypse and went off to Earth and helped heroes here. She, after she chases off Orion, Mr. Miracle, Scott is kind of confused, and he talks to Barda and says, "You look different. Your eyes are a different color now." So I don't know what the story is there. Scott seems to be having hallucinations or a cloudy memory. And then we cut to Miracle on a talk show hosted by G. Gordon Godfrey. If you've ever read the Legends series, he's been portrayed as a lieutenant or a henchman of Darkseid's here on Earth, always putting out propaganda against the heroes. And so here he's kind of a Bill O'Reilly slash Seth Meyers character. He's trying to get to the bottom of why Miracle killed himself, and then it's not necessarily clear as to whether this conversation actually happened or if it's all in Scott's head, because he's been kind of home just recuperating throughout the course of this. And Godfrey puts Miracle on the spot and says, "Hey, what's the deal with you trying to escape death? Why'd you do that? And what's the big deal? Why would you do that? And did you really escape death, or are you just pulling our leg?" And it kind of fades and cuts out of that. So interesting little cut there. I like the art on that part. And well, I like the art on the whole thing. But that three-page little talk show story was great. We cut to a beach scene where you see Scott Free walking with his biological father, Isaiah, the High Father. Looks kind of like Moses. And very cool panel here. It's kind of evocative of the Jesus walking on the beach, and you only have the one foot set of footprints. Very definitive imagery here. Isaiah is telling Scott that you need to join the forces of good. Darkseid is really up to something serious now, so we need your help in this war. And but it's a one-page thing. It's just really quick. Looks like it's actually happening, or it did occur. You do see the wrist bandages on Scott. And as soon as that happens, we go back to Scott's office, where he's in costume and he's visited by Oberon. Well, this is another, I don't know if it's a flashback. No, I don't think so. This is actually a as it happens. But Oberon is Scott's old manager slash hype man when he was an escape artist. He also was part of the Justice League as a kind of an administrator or a clerk, kind of a gopher, maybe. I've always pictured Oberon as Danny DeVito, very short, diminutive, wears normal clothes, not in costume or anything like that, smokes a cigar. He goes all the way back to the Kirby days, too. I hear it's implied that Oberon is talking to Scott but Scott is hallucinating the whole thing because Barda tells Scott that Oberon is actually dead. So we have more of this cloudy memory happening with Scott Free. And Oberon also tells him a story about a kid doing an assignment in school where he's supposed to draw something and then tell the teacher what they've drawn. Oberon says the kid drew God, and the teacher says, well, there's no way. Nobody knows what God looks like. And then at the end of the story, he says, well, I bet I know. It's as though the kid has seen God. And that's a flashback to earlier in the episode, or the issue. I'm doing it. Greg was doing this recently where he said, issue with episode. I've done that every time I've tried to review a comic book. I'm so used to TV. So we go and we follow up with Barda telling Scott that Oberon is just a figment of your imagination. You're not obviously recovered yet. Meanwhile, we see more of the recovery process of Scott. His mother box starts pinging, and mother box is kind of like, it can be a lot of different things. I call it a MacGuffin. It's a piece of technology that's used ambiguously for different things. In this case, it's an intergalactic communicator where Orion is telling Scott, we need your help. Come over here. Isaiah's dead. Darkseid has killed him, and we need you. So the issue ends with Scott and Barda traveling back to New Genesis or traveling to Apocalypse. We don't necessarily know yet. But as this happens, each panel is more and more influenced by the Darkseid black panel. So this is happening where this oncoming sense of doom and anxiety is happening, is approaching. Scott and Barda take a boom tube and make sure everything's cool, Barda asks Scott, is everything all right? What's going on? And Scott says, I don't think any of this is real. I can't escape this. He's just not himself at this point. Barda pulls the previously mentioned teaching technique of hitting you and then telling you to stand. And looks like it just happens once, and Scott just stops. He stops whining about it and says, okay, let's go. So the issue ends like that. So a lot of psychological stuff going on in the issue. The first time I read it, I was concerned it felt like a very quick read, but going back through, a lot's going on. I do think that it's a little bit much for first-time readers, like I said before, but I think it's going to be a worthy story, plot. Obviously, we're getting a different look at this character and through the eyes of depression. You know, you see this character of Scott Free, who's usually been portrayed as a optimist and a positive force, and he was always kind of a contrast to Orion, who was more of a brooding, moody, dark kind of character. Scott was more of the light, happy character, and always wisecracking, great husband, great teammate, was well thought of, and we did recently see Mr. Miracle in the Dark Knights, the Forge, I believe, where Batman brought him in to help out with a trap. So it's going to be interesting to see where they go with it. I'm on board. I hope you are too. So that's my recommendation, is that if you're looking for something a little bit different, a little bit not as action-packed, but maybe a little bit more storytelling, this is a good book for you, and I hope you check it out. If you're going to wait for the trade, that's good too. I would not say this would be a great episode or issue, there I go again, for a Weber Has Issues, as that it's just not, there's just so much backstory there, a little bit of heavy lifting. So check it out. Tell me what you think. Meanwhile, check out all the other great shows here on Place to Be Nation. We've got Conversation Comics with another episode coming very soon. As soon as Tim and I get back together, we always have the Hard Traveling Fanboys every week, and Sellers Points, Geek and Sassy, every couple weeks each of those. Sellers Points just did a great episode about rebooking Spider-Man 3, and it turned out that just a couple minor tweaks would have made that a much better movie. I think we're all in agreement. I liked their particular suggestions for that. So meanwhile, over on Hard Traveling Fanboys side, we do have our upcoming Watchmen comic book theater project. It's coming together very nicely. And I assure you it will be unlike anything you've ever heard before. So thanks for checking out this Pop Blast. My name's Todd Weber, Mr. Miracle number one from DC. Go buy it.